Part 1. The Purpose of Life. Chapter 1. The Right to Happiness.
I believe that the very purpose of our life is to seek happiness. That is clear. Whether one believes in religion or not, whether one believes in this religion or that religion, we are all seeking something better in life. So I think the very motion of our life is towards happiness.
With these words, spoken before a large audience in Arizona, the Dalai Lama cut to the heart of his message. But I wondered if lasting happiness, which in the West has always seemed so ill-defined, elusive, and ungraspable, was really a reasonable goal for most of us.
Yes. I believe that happiness can be achieved through training the mind. When I say training the mind in this context, I'm not referring to mind merely as one's cognitive ability or intellect. Rather, I'm using the term in the sense of the Tibetan word sem, which has a much broader meaning, closer to psyche or spirit. It includes intellect and feeling, heart and mind. By bringing about a certain inner discipline, we can undergo a genuine transformation of our attitude, our outlook, and approach to living. Now, when we speak of inner discipline, it can, of course, involve many things, many methods, but generally speaking, one begins by identifying the factors which lead to happiness and those factors which lead to suffering. Having done this, one then sets about gradually eliminating the factors which lead to suffering and cultivating those which lead to happiness. That is the way.
The purpose of our existence is to seek happiness. It seems like common sense, and Western thinkers from Aristotle to William James have agreed with this idea. But isn't a life based on seeking personal happiness self-centered, even self-indulgent? Not necessarily. Many surveys have shown that it is unhappy people who tend to be the most self-focused and are often socially withdrawn, brooding, and even antagonistic. Happy people, in contrast, are generally found to be more sociable, flexible, creative, and able to tolerate life's daily frustrations more easily. And most important, they are found to be more loving and forgiving than unhappy people. So scientific evidence, as well as our own experience, tells us that there is an intimate connection between personal happiness and kindness towards others. Our personal happiness needn't come at another's expense, as if somehow there were a finite quantity of happiness in the world. And the connection between personal happiness and kindness is reciprocal. Not only are happy people found to be more caring, but unhappy individuals who begin to consciously cultivate genuine compassion will find this a powerful antidote to their own problems. The Dalai Lama offers evidence of this in his own interactions with other people. In one conversation with him, I directly asked him if he was happy. He responded that he was. There was a quiet sincerity in his voice that left no doubt of this, a sincerity that was reflected in his expression and in his eyes. And throughout his week in Arizona, I often witness how his personal happiness manifested as a simple willingness to reach out to others, to create a feeling of affinity and goodwill, even in the briefest of encounters. One morning after his public lecture, he was walking along a patio on his way to his hotel room, surrounded by his usual retinue. He noticed one of the housekeeping staff standing by the elevators and paused to ask where she was from. For a moment, she appeared taken aback by this greeting from a foreign-looking man in maroon robes and seemed puzzled by the deference given him by the entourage. Then she smiled and answered shyly, "Mexico." He paused to chat with her for a few moments and then walked on, leaving her with a look of excitement and pleasure. The next morning at the same time, she appeared at the same spot with another of the housekeeping staff. The two of them greeted the Dalai Lama warmly as he got on the elevator, and he responded in turn. Every day after that, they were joined by a few more of the staff at the designated time and place, until by the end of the week there were dozens of maids, in their crisp gray and white uniforms, forming a receiving line that stretched along the length of the path to the elevators. So we begin then with the basic premise that not only is the purpose of our life to seek happiness, but in fact we can find it. It is a vision of happiness as a real objective, one that we can take positive steps towards achieving. And as we begin to identify the factors that lead to a happier life, we will learn how the search for happiness offers benefits not only for the individual, but for one's family and society at large as well.